Let's get into the mind of Rodney Eade in Coach's Corner on a Tuesday morning. He's been there, he's done that, just about every facet of Australian rules football. He joins us again today. Good morning, Rockets.
Morning, Daniel. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well indeed. I want to know straight up, Rocket, how would you go as a coach dealing with these uncertainties of timings and venues and fixtures and all that sort of stuff? By routine, we're creatures of habit, Australian rules footballers, and coaches in particular, control freaks more often than not, Rocket, trust me. How would you go with all this?
That would be okay. I don't know if people know too much about it, but I don't mind change. I cope with it okay. I'm not stuck in the one thing and be on the tram track. So I'd certainly cope. It'd be more about, I think, the players and the staff being able to, because there's going to be a lot within that who are just made that way that would actually struggle with it. So it's more about being able to get around those people, be able to work with them and ease any anxiety or stress. Or some people would say, if I haven't got routine, I'm not going to play well. They'd talk themselves out of that situation, as you would know.
Yep.
And you would have played with plenty like that. So it'd be more about the other people and working with it to try and get a result.
Do you think that would be the biggest challenge, full stop, at the moment, is the mind games? The psychology of coaching would really be coming to the fore now, as opposed to the tactics and the X's and O's?
Oh, sure, no doubt. There's no doubt about that. To obviously swap three games, which was coming, but until you're until you're confirmed on that, it's only happened the last 24 hours. Some have got to fly and they weren't going to fly. There's mini hubs, I suppose, if you want to call it at the moment. Some not seeing families. Everyone's in a different situation. If this doesn't fix itself, though, going forward, it may be even changed even more. Teams change, play within 5 or 6 days, then have to travel, and et cetera, et cetera. So as well with players getting COVID, it may cost one team a spot in the eight at the end of the season. Mm. The Sydney coped with it really well at the weekend, but there may be a situation, one of those six teams fighting for two spots, lose 3 or 4 players or 10 players, and actually cost them a win or a chance to win. So there's going to be a lot of different situations. I think obviously Sydney coped with it really well the weekend, and I think we've just got to take that situation that we're going to be throwing curveballs, and we've just got to get on with it.
Kind of a question without notice, but with the way Sydney are going this year, just John Longmire's ability to adapt, and we saw him really emotional after the game against the Giants on the weekend, which is not something you would normally see. Is he not so much exceeding expectations, because he is a premiership coach, but his adaptability that we perhaps haven't seen as much in recent years from him?
Listen, he's coped extremely well. From the day John took over, I've been really impressed the way he's wanted to introduce kids.
Yep.
They were quite an older group, or blokes from other clubs, that there wasn't a lot of youth. Then they won the premiership. He's tinkered and turned the list over or introduced new players. Last year and this year, it's been en masse, really. There's quite a few players on that side now. I don't know a lot about it at all.
Yep.
And you hear clubs saying, oh, we're going with youth, give us some time, we're actually progressing. But they're winning games, and they're winning games against good teams with a lot of youth. But what they've introduced over the last 3 years, they're sort of the mainstay now. They've sort of they're the experienced players who have played 40 or 50 games, which is a real credit to him. So to answer your question, I'm not totally surprised, but I think a lot of people would be, because he's seen as, he doesn't give a lot in the media, obviously, and he's a bit out of the old John Kennedy school. He's grown up under Dennis Pagan, actually don't give them much, but I think I think John's done a fantastic job, and it's not only this year. I think it's been building for a few years.
Hard to argue with that. Looking through the eight, Rocket, I think it's a fascinating period for the teams in the eight. Look at what's happened the last month. I mean, Melbourne have been a little bit off their tucker. Doggies have been up and down a bit. Power have been all over the shop. Brisbane's last couple of weeks have been interesting. The Weagles have been woeful up until the weekend. Essendon are sort of finding their mojo a bit. Then you've got Sydney and Geelong really is the only consistent teams through this period. Is the June-July thing the make or break for you to launch yourself to be a top four team or a top two team? Is that the most important phase of the year from your perspective?
That's a good question. I think maybe are we looking too deep into it, but certainly heading into finals, having some form and momentum can help the confidence. So again, back to that psychology question you asked early in the program about COVID, I think that certainly helps as well. So if you've got some wins now when there's difficult situations thrown at you, it'll give players confidence that they can cope with anything against good sides, lesser teams away, whatever the case may be. So I'm not too sure about in the past, but certainly this year and last year, I think in this period, is really strong to get some confidence and get some belief. It looks like those six teams fighting don't actually want to be in the eight. So anyone who gets there lose and they get down. And so they're not taking their chances. I mean, St Kilda had a good chance a week. I know it was against a good side. Fremantle got belted. Richmond now are back on after losing a few games. Essendon are in. The Eagles look as if they didn't want it. Now they've got up with a win. So there's a lot to play out. I thought the eight was just about set about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Now the Giants don't really want to grab the chance either. So
yeah,
it'd be interesting to see. And you would think, on the point of your question, the seventh and eighth side, whoever get there, won't have the momentum when they get into September anyway. They'll actually just be making the numbers up the way they've been playing.
Yeah, there does seem to be separation from that top six, even higher than that now with the way Brisbane are playing compared to everybody else. Yeah. But we'll have to wait and see. Rocket, David Teague said after the game that the season shouldn't be seen as a failure if the Blues miss the finals again. What's your view on that, if you're a Carlton fan?
A Carlton fan. Again, it depends on expectations. I would think that they'd need to be threatening for the eight, as in a genuine threat for the eight, like miss it by a game or percentage and miss it by a game when they win their last two or something like that, that they're really a good chance that things gone against them. If they look like, I think they're playing North this week, were they?
Yep.
So they, yeah, so if they can win that and then over the next 4 weeks be really competitive, win a couple of games and just miss, I don't think it'd be a failure. But if they drop away and say they win their last two or three games and miss it by 8 points, I think from a Carlton's fans' actual perspective, I think they'd be really disappointed, to be honest. Yeah. So it's sort of sitting on the fence a bit, but it's not so much making the eight, but they've got to be really threatening it.
Well, it's bordering on the best way to finish for Carlton. They've got North Melbourne, St Kilda, Gold Coast, Port Adelaide away, and then the Giants to finish. That's a pretty good run home, Rocket.
Yeah, that's right. So you'd think they should, to have a tick for the season, they'd want to win at least three of those five.
Yep.
At least three of those five, and maybe a fourth. If they can win four out of five, they're a chance for the eight. So therefore you give their season a tick.
So the Blues are currently 7 wins. I think if they can, and again, it'll depend on the next month, but if they can get to 10 wins, that has to be seen as not so much a successful season, but an improved season. And considering where David Teague's coming from, that has to be a tick.
I think it's progressing. So it's going forward. What that would do, though, is it ramps the pressure up for next season.
Yes. Next year's make or break year.
They've got to get in the finals next year. Yeah, it'll be a tick if they can get to 10 wins. That's at 3 out of the next 5, as long as those 2 losses aren't beltings. I think they're progressing okay, but I think they had that patch, didn't they? They didn't look great.
Yep.
They had quarters here, which I suppose if you want to go on the positive for David, they only had bad quarters here, or bad 1.5 quarters, which they got the game blown away. So they're in it for the other part of the other part. They just need that consistency to be able to play the four quarters.
7 wins in 2019, 7 wins in 2020 from a 17-game season.
Yeah.
So that's where they are now, 7 wins at the moment, with hopefully a few more in the bank, and that would be progression. But they did sell a story of Williams and Saad that this was going to be a launching pad. And
that's the problem. Yeah. They shouldn't have done that.
It is the problem. Is because we all get disappointed when expectations aren't met, either on an individual or a team, or anything in life is when our expectations are up, we go, if we think something's going to be a 9 out of 10 and it's an 8 out of 10, we're disappointed. Where if we think something's a 6, going to be a 6 out of 10 and it gets to 7, we're really thrilled. We're fantastic. So I think everyone, they sold the message that we're going to be, here we come, that we're going to be in the finals. And they haven't, when you don't reach that standard or bar that they've set, people get disappointed.
And that's why Carlton fans get annoyed with, the, I guess, Essendon becoming the media darlings this year. And it's purely based on Essendon didn't have expectations for the first time in a long time, didn't have expectations on the season. They've exceeded them, whereas Carlton have probably not exceeded them, and that's why there's the difference in the way the perception is on those two season, those two clubs this season. Anyway.
No doubt. There's no doubt about it. And everyone at Essendon, they've played it really well. They've had a young team, and their draft picks are playing, so they can sell the message. So they're easing the pressure on a first-time coach and of the players, but they're exceeding expectations. So everyone's thrilled out of Bomberland.
Rocket, you're exceeding expectations every week with us on the program. We think it's magnificent. You're part of our world. We look forward to catching up with you and talking more footy with you next week.
See you, boys. Have a good week.
We will do. All the best. Rocket Eid and the great Rodney Eid with us as part of Coach's Corner on The Breakfast Club on a Tuesday morning. We'll get to a break. Alex Keith.